This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Interstate collapse in Atlanta. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, March 31st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A massive fire has forced the closure of a portion of Interstate 85 in Atlanta, a major freeway on the East Coast. The city's mayor is calling it a transportation crisis.
Mike Flynn, former national security advisor for President Trump, has told the FBI that he's willing to talk in exchange for immunity.
Got an anxious high school senior in the house right about now? We'll have tips on helping them cope when a college rejection letter arrives in the mail.
And the best and worst states for retirement.
Yeah, I think this generation of retirees and soon-to-be retirees are a lot more practical and pragmatic than they have been. Perhaps people, you know, going to retirement in the past, I think they're taking a pragmatic look at their finances and other factors, and you know, trying to find a place where they can, you know, live both the ups and downs of retirement.
Klaus Bell at Bankrate.com on what makes a state like Minnesota a great place to retire. He's here in about 20 minutes. A massive fire has caused a bridge to collapse on Interstate 85 in Atlanta, one of the busiest freeways in the eastern part of the country. Rush hour traffic was backed up for hours last evening, with thousands of motorists actually locked in place as state troopers worked to turn them around. The mayor of Atlanta, Kasim Reed, expects all lanes to be blocked indefinitely.
I think that it's as serious a transportation crisis as we could have.
Authorities were focusing on the possibility that PVC piping, commonly used in construction, may have ignited for some reason. A local TV station reported that large amounts of PVC pipe were stored under the bridge.
We will be working in a coordinated fashion over the next 2 days to get to the bottom of what occurred.
I-85, one of the busiest freeways in the eastern half of the country, carrying vehicles almost 700 miles from southern Alabama through Virginia. It's an important commercial thruway not only for businesses in Atlanta, but also for Montgomery, Alabama, and Charlotte, North Carolina. Multiple sources are reporting that President Trump's former national security advisor, Mike Flynn, has told the FBI and congressional officials investigating the Trump campaign's potential ties to Russia that he's willing to be interviewed in exchange for immunity. We get more now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
As an advisor to Mr. Trump's presidential campaign and later a top White House aide, Mr. Flynn was privy to some of the most sensitive foreign policy deliberations and was directly involved in discussions about potentially lifting sanctions against Russia that were in place by the Obama administration. The decorated Army veteran was forced to step down after acknowledging that he misled White House officials about the nature of his phone conversations with Russia's ambassador during the presidential transition. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. General Flynn, by the way, has made the offer to the FBI and the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, but reportedly has so far found no takers. By the way, 6 months ago, during an interview on NBC's Meet the Press, Mr. Flynn said, quote, "When you are given immunity, that means you probably committed a crime." He was discussing aides connected to Hillary Clinton, who had been granted immunity by the government in exchange for talking to the FBI about her private email server. Well, the Senate Intelligence Committee has held its second open hearing as part of its investigation into alleged Russian meddling in last year's presidential election, and it's pledging to conduct as much of the probe as possible in the public eye. Among those who testified yesterday, Clint Watts, senior fellow at the Center for Cyber and Homeland Security at George Washington University.
The overriding issue with why Russia did this to the United States and does it now to Europe is we are weak. We do not respond. We have no organized response as a country or even policy towards Russia right now.
Mr. Watts also said Russia attempted to derail some presidential opponents in the primaries last year, and he believed Florida Senator Marco Rubio was one of the targets. The committee's top Democrat, by the way, Virginia Senator Mark Warner, said the hearing would throw light on the Kremlin's weaponization of information. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Paying off credit cards can get expensive, and getting a traditional bank loan can be a hassle, which is why there is now another way to get the money you need at a competitive fixed interest rate without the hassles, fees, and risks. It's called Avant. Your loan through Avant could be approved in minutes, and money could be in your account in as little as one business day. So if you need a small or substantial loan, go to Avant.com to check your interest rate. We think you're going to like what you see. Right now, Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first installment is made on time. To check your rates with no effect on your FICO score and get this special offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 4343 at checkout. That's www.avant.com, promo code 4343. Loans are made by WebBank. Funds are deposited for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
Glad you're with us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, where helping business grow is pure Michigan. Instead of waiting to respond to President Trump's tweets, companies and public relations executives appear to be planning a different strategy. Offense. It's a story from James Pindle, political reporter at the Boston Globe. James, set this up.
Well, after the election, there were endless amounts of stories about companies on the defense, worried that Donald Trump would tweet something negative about them and it would send their stock prices swirling. We saw that a number of times. You saw that not only with Nordstrom involving Ivanka Trump's line, but you saw that most prominently right after he was elected when it came to Boeing. He said that, you know, the new Air Force One just cost too much money, and he was starting to be critical about some other projects. He said he wanted to bring their costs down. So you had companies now hiring people, particularly on the West Coast, to be up really early in the morning, so when Donald Trump fires off a 6:30 a.m. tweet and it's 3:30 a.m. in California, they're ready to react and respond. But now companies are saying, well, actually, instead of just playing defense, we're starting to see some offense taking place. If you have good news, particularly good job news or projects you want to invest in here in America, go to Donald Trump. He would gladly broadcast that to his 27 million Twitter followers. And more than just that, obviously, anything the president says is going to get more press. If you're going to do the jobs, if you're going to do the investment anyway, you might as well try to go through Trump and get some positive attention.
Mm. All right, so Ford Motor Company did it. Explain that.
Ford Motor Company first gave the news that they're going to invest, I think it was over $1 billion, in three plants in Michigan, hire another 130 people. I mean, 130 people is not a ton, but it's 130 people. But what they did was smart. They went to Trump first. They said, hey, we're going to do this. Trump tweets off that Ford's going to have big news coming up later, and in capital letters, jobs, 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 and then Ford releases their press release, giving all the details. It appeared entirely coordinated.
Mm. We're speaking with James Pindle, political reporter at the Boston Globe. His piece is called, In a Shift, Companies Leverage Trump's Tweets for Their Own Good. All right, explain how Intel and Charter Communications went even a little further than that.
They went even further. I mean, instead of just, you know, giving a heads up to the White House that this may be happening, they announced their jobs and investment inside of the Oval Office with Donald Trump. He said, right to camera, right to his cell phone, or however they want to tape the video, the announcement of these jobs with Donald Trump standing there. Obviously, if you are Donald Trump, if you're any president, if you're any governor, you want to take credit for any economic development that's occurring where you're governing. There's no question about that. But instead of, again, leaking it to the Wall Street Journal or the local press about the local investment, these companies are saying, well, maybe we can use Donald Trump as a force for good instead of always being in this sort of defensive crouch.
Yeah, it's interesting if that can almost be an incentive to try to hire. Let's add some of the, I don't know, potential investment cost in there in terms of, I don't know, building around a White House campaign almost.
Yeah, I mean, again, if these companies are going to do it anyway, I mean, they might as well use Trump. But clearly Trump's trying to argue that because he's in office, these companies are doing it. I'm in Boston. We are a huge biotech area in terms of the entire world. There are a lot of big pharmaceutical companies. You know, Donald Trump has taken aim at a lot of these pharmaceutical companies. And maybe market pressures will mean that they'll have to lower a price on a particular drug. Well, they could just announce that, or they could say, okay, Donald Trump, okay, we'll do it from the Oval Office. We'll announce that we're, you know, lowering our price by a penny or by a dollar or whatever it is, or even by more. Donald Trump would love to say that they're doing it because of me, they're doing it because it's New America. Well, the reality is it's market pressures. But now they're seen as good guys, not just smart business people.
Thanks, James. James Pindle, political reporter at the Boston Globe. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to Mike Flynn, President Trump's former national security advisor, has told the FBI and congressional officials investigating the Trump campaign's potential ties to Russia he's willing to be interviewed in exchange for immunity from prosecution. Flynn's attorney says his client is the target of unsubstantiated public demands by members of Congress. Flynn saw immunity differently in September when reports surfaced that aides around Hillary Clinton had been granted immunity in exchange for talking about her private email server.
Five people around her have been given immunity, to include her former chief of staff. When you are given immunity, that means that you've probably committed a crime.
As an advisor to Trump's presidential campaign and later one of Trump's top aides in the White House, Flynn was privy to some of the most sensitive foreign policy deliberations of the new administration. The NCAA says it will announce next week whether it will allow the return of championship games to North Carolina after state legislators yesterday voted to scale back the state's controversial bathroom law. But neither side seems satisfied with the deal. The new deal does mean lawmakers can no longer govern who uses what bathroom or locker room, but it doesn't allow non-discrimination laws passed before HB2 to go back into effect, nor does it permit local governments from passing new anti-discrimination laws before December of 2020. The Trump administration is appealing a Hawaii federal judge's ruling blocking President Trump's revised travel ban. The appeal moves the whole process closer to the Supreme Court. Police have announced two arrests in connection to last weekend's Cameo nightclub shooting in Cincinnati. Authorities say 27-year-old Cornell Beckley and 29-year-old DeAndre Davis are each facing a charge of murder in the shooting that left one man dead and 16 other people injured early Sunday. What's costing you money? Deer and bed bugs. Insurance firm Allianz says bed bug bites and infestation are second only to vehicle collisions with deer among animal-related causes of liability loss. New York alone saw a 44% jump in bed bug incidents from 2014 to 15, a growing trend across many cities the insurance industry has seen in the past several years.
Wow. If they bite, aren't you supposed to squeeze them tight? The bed bugs?
Yeah. That's not a...
I
think things have changed since we heard that as kids.
The strategy's not working too well anymore?
No.
But have you hit a deer on the way to work here, by the way?
I have hit a deer, but not on the way to work. But every day, it's this close.
Oh, yeah. It's either a deer or a fox. At the time, Jennifer and I drive through the partially wooded area. I mean...
It's awful.
It's been 11-plus years now for me, but it's just still a matter of when, not if.
Exactly.
23 minutes after the hour. Are you looking for a place to retire? A new study by Bankrate.com may help, but may surprise you as well. New Hampshire is the best state to retire, and a couple other ones at least made me scratch my head. Traditional locations aren't even in the top 10. What gives? Here's more from Klaus Bell, data analyst at Bankrate.com. Klaus, what did you find?
So we found that the top five states to retire are New Hampshire, Colorado, Maine, Iowa, and Minnesota. And, you know, there's definitely some cold weather states in there. So we considered a lot more than weather. So weather was definitely a factor, and it was something that was important. But we also considered things like crime, tax rates, whether seniors there report a high level of well-being, because we wanted to give people a balanced look at what are actually going to be the best places to retire and not just what sound like the best places to retire.
Is there any hints that people are actually moving to those places?
Yeah, I think this generation of retirees and soon-to-be retirees are a lot more practical and pragmatic than they have been than perhaps people, you know, going to retirement in the past. I don't think that, you know, I definitely think that they're looking for a fun place to be, but I don't think that they're necessarily only looking at that. I think they're taking a pragmatic look at their finances and other factors and, you know, trying to find a place where they can, you know, live both the ups and downs of retirement.
I'm surprised at Minnesota. I mean, only because weather jumps out at me so immediately when I think of Minnesota. What else is going on there that makes it a great place to retire?
they have great health care quality. And that's something that is going to be really important for seniors, because they're going to be accessing the health care system more than people in other age groups. So that's a big deal. They also have, there's actually a lot of cultural opportunities there. They spend a lot on the arts in Minnesota, so people are going to be able to find things to do. And seniors are actually report a really high level of overall well-being. So they say that they're happy, they're healthy, and they feel at home in their communities.
All right, worst five on your list, Alaska, West Virginia, Arkansas, New Mexico, Louisiana. Any common theme among those states?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a couple of things. I mean, I think these in general are, you know, besides Alaska, are fairly, manageable in terms of cost of living, but they have some real challenges on healthcare quality. Many of them have difficult, issues with crime. That people there just don't necessarily report a high level of well-being, with the exception of Alaska. People there are just reporting issues with their physical and mental health and other things that show that, seniors there are encountering some issues.
Thanks, Klaus. Klaus Bell, data analyst at Bankrate.com. So, again, the best states, top five, New Hampshire, Colorado, Maine, Minnesota, and Iowa. The worst states in which to retire, the bottom five, Alaska, West Virginia, Arkansas, New Mexico, and Louisiana. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 5656 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 5656.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help to become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Friday, March 31st. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Part of Interstate 85 in Atlanta collapses from a fire. Mike Flynn offers to testify in exchange for immunity. Trump expected to sign executive orders today targeting the trade deficit. Education Department says approval letters for a student loan forgiveness program may be invalid. Attorney General told Fox News that border crossings are down 60% under Trump. SpaceX launched a satellite with a partly used rocket. And how much the top college basketball teams are worth. That story in about 20 minutes. This is the time of year when most high school students will have heard from colleges whether or not they have been accepted. Competition to get into top schools has been getting stiffer nearly every year. How do you help your kids cope when their hearts are broken by a rejection letter from a favored school? Here's Wall Street Journal columnist Claire Ansberry. Claire, give us guidance.
Well, it's one of these times of year that parents kind of dread, because with kids applying to 10, 15 schools, they're at admission rates at some of the top ones are like 10%. Their kids are going to be facing rejection, and they have to walk a delicate line of acknowledging the disappointment, but also helping them shift focus on the places where they are accepted.
All right, so you can't go overly negative and pile on like, that school's a piece of garbage anyway. You didn't want to go there in the first place, right? Well, what do you do?
You also don't want to say it's okay, and things are going to get better, which kind of minimizes their feelings. And you really got to let them have that moment of just being sad and disappointed, but don't burst into tears yourself. And then when they are ready to talk about the next steps, you kind of shift expectations and focus on where they did get in and revisit the reasons that they decided to apply there in the first place. And doing that can kind of rekindle their enthusiasm about those choices, and that also puts them in control again. You know, once they haven't been accepted, they kind of feel like, now what? And, you know, like, where to go next? So if you kind of empower them and let them empower themselves, that's an important thing.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Claire Ansberry. Her piece is called How to Help When College Rejection Letters Land. Take us through a couple of these clever coping strategies that different families use that you cited in the story.
There was one young woman in London who wanted to go to Oxford, and she, you know, even though she prepared for the worst when she got the letter, she was crushed. But and she texted her mother, and her mother was ready to deal with disappointment. But in the meantime, the daughter, who was artistic and, you know, very, she wanted to study the classics and arts, she took the rejection letter and she cut out some of the phrases that she felt were really overly emotional or overly direct, and she incorporated them into a painting. You know, she said when you're rejected, one of your first reactions is to kind of slightly mock something. And so that's what she did, and it was very therapeutic. Another student who wanted, who didn't get in where she wanted to, you know, her father said, you know, look, you are a trumpet player, and Yale may not need a trumpet player, but there is a school that does. And when you find that school, it'll be a perfect fit. And she's a freshman at Washington University and loves it. Another thing her father had told her, during the college visitation phase was that, you know, keep, right after you're done visiting a school, make a list of what you liked and didn't like about that school, and nobody's going to look at it, so you can be very open and honest with it, and while it's still fresh in your mind, take, you know, list the pros and cons. And she would often add to it as she found out more information. And when she didn't get into her top choice, she went back to that list. And she said it was very helpful in helping her decide, you know, where to go.
Oh, how about that? Thanks, Claire. Claire Ansberry, Wall Street Journal columnist. I was thinking, in my house, if this happens to Daddy's little girl in a few years, my approach is going to be along the lines of, all right, Daddy'll be right back, honey. Going to take a little drive to campus to snap the neck of the admissions officer. No, I wouldn't go that far. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us, and a good Friday to you. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined live this morning by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. Charlotte, April the Giraffe.
Good morning, Gordon. And yes, all eyes are on April the Giraffe this week because she is due. She's supposed to have her baby. And the interesting thing is it's being live streamed across the internet. The Animal Adventure Park announced this week that the calf countdown is on and people are craning their necks to get a look at the birth of her baby. Apparently, this has been hotly anticipated because she was due mid-February. April has been pregnant since 2015. So it's time to get this baby out.
Wow. Okay. So I am one of 97,000 people apparently watching live right now. And hey, April. Yeah, April. Yeah, she's not even moving. She's just standing there. This is not good video. It's not good video. I don't recommend it. Until you hear that there's some action, don't bother. It's just, by the way, there are apparently less than 100,000 giraffes left in the wild, according to the website. And I was thinking, what would happen if the world was devoid of giraffes?
That's a great question.
And listen, I'm an animal lover, but like, what does the giraffe really bring to us?
Silly joy, Gordon.
Okay.
Silly joy.
No, that's fair enough. I think that's a good point. You also point out that the Raiders obviously are making big news this week.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And it's because the Oakland Raiders announced this week that they're moving to Las Vegas. Target date is probably 2020. Las Vegas is building a brand new stadium for them, but they're making waves back in Oakland because the fans are petitioning for the Raiders to change their name if they do leave. TBD on what that name would be. Maybe the Las Vegas Sinners.
Very nice. Yeah, that'd be a great chant. Let's go, Sinners. Da, 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 da. What else made your list?
Well, this week, it seems that all's well that ends well. After the main.
Wait. Hold on. April the Giraffe just wagged her tail. Just an update. Go ahead.
oh no, we're getting close. But I was saying, all is well that ends well, especially after a huge Oscar gap. People are still talking and searching for the conditions that led up to the confusion around Best Picture for this year's Oscars. But the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences confirms that PwC will continue to work for the Oscars next year. They'll just have to stash their cell phones.
That's a big client they're hanging on to. We're joined live this morning by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith, talking about what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. Got to play this clip from this this trailer for the new movie based on the Stephen King novel, It.
Bill, if you'll come with me, you'll float too. 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 You'll float too.
All right, I'm creeped out. What's going on here?
For those of you who are unfamiliar, this is a film based on Stephen King's It, which is a novel about a clown that takes children from neighborhoods. As you can tell, this is a pretty freaky trailer, but it already has over 13.5 million views. People are checking it out and holding on to the edges of their seats. Movie's out September 8th. I won't be there, but sounds like it'll be a thriller.
Finish up with this a PSA to all the boyfriends and moms out there. What's this?
You know, it looks like April Fool's might be tomorrow. And our top search categories for, quote, how to prank include boyfriend, mom, friends, and teachers. So if you fall into any of those categories, be extra vigilant tomorrow.
You have been warned. Thank you, Charlotte. Appreciate it. Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith with us live this morning. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Reporting the White House is refusing to say whether it secretly fed intelligence reports to a top Republican lawmaker, fueling concerns about political interference in the investigation into possible coordination between Russia and the Trump administration. Fending off the growing criticism, the administration invited lawmakers from both parties to view classified material it said relates to surveillance of the president's associates. The invitation came as the New York Times reported two White House officials secretly helped House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes examine intelligence information last week. Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chairman Mark Warner says questions remain.
What I've been told is that the Russian intel services alone would not have that level of political sophistication about our electoral process to know which precinct in Wisconsin, which precinct in Michigan to target. So where did they get that information?
Meanwhile, an attorney for Michael Flynn, Trump's ex-national security advisor, says Flynn is in discussions with the House and Senate Intelligence Committees about speaking to them in exchange for immunity. Senators Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp have become the first Democrats to support the confirmation of President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch, giving Republicans 2 of 8 Democratic votes needed to avoid a nasty fight on the Senate floor next week. Both are up for re-election next year in states that voted for Trump. President Trump today will make the next move in his bid to reshape trade policy, signing 2 executive orders aimed at combating foreign trade abuses that contribute to the U.S. trade deficit. The executive orders will initiate a large-scale review of the causes of the trade deficits with some of the U.S.'s largest trading partners and order stricter enforcement of anti-dumping laws. Atlanta's notorious traffic is more tangled than usual after a massive fire caused a bridge on Interstate 85 to collapse, completely shutting down the heavily traveled highway. Transportation officials say there's no way to tell when the highway can be safely reopened to traffic following the collapse, which occurred yesterday afternoon during rush hour. Have a bad cold? Maybe you're feeling lonely. Researchers at Rice University have discovered that lonely people report their common cold symptoms as more severe than those who aren't as isolated.
Typical guy.
I was going to say, this has got to be men. They're a bunch of babies.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Well, there's a new number one in college basketball, and it's not a team in Phoenix for this weekend's Final Four. Kentucky is now the most valuable program in the country with a valuation of nearly $343 million, according to an annual study. North Carolina, which beat Kentucky in the Elite Eight, leads the pack among this year's Final Four teams with a $143 million value, 10th highest in the country. The Wall Street Journal says that the other three Final Four competitors aren't typically considered among college basketball's historical powers, as reflected in the rankings. Gonzaga, with an estimated worth of $58 million, ranks 39th nationally. South Carolina, which hadn't made the tournament since 2004, is worth slightly more at $61 million. Oregon's $33 million valuation ranks 69th, but that's expected to rise. Another team that may see a future windfall is Northwestern. They're already worth $93 million, but that doesn't account for making their first ever NCAA tournament this year. Rankings could look a lot different next year. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.